Crichton. 3 million years from Earth, the mining ship Red Dwarf. Its crew, Dave Lister, the last human being alive. Arnold Rimmer, a hologram of his dead bunkmate. And a creature who evolved from the ship's cat. Message ends. Additional. As the days go by, we face the increasing inevitability that we are alone in a godless, hostile, and meaningless universe. Still, you've got to laugh, haven't you? Our view settles on a planet and we see a crashed spaceship.
Sit down, Brooke. There's something I must tell you.
What is it, Kelly? We now see the ship's interior. Crichton, a robot, is watching Kelly and Brooke on a television set. They are male and female androids. He continues to watch as...
I wasn't with Simone that evening, Brooke. I spent the night with Gary.
Your ex-husband, Gary? My business rival? What are you telling me, Kelly?
I'm saying... Brooke Jr.
What about Brooke Jr.?
He isn't your android.
The program finishes with some music and the android credits. Kelly, Android 14,762 IE. Brooke, Android 67,542 IE. Simone, Android 442,153 IE. Gary, Android 72,264 IY. Brooke Jr., Android 24 IA. We leave the television set and see Crichton still staring up at it. The music ends with, Androids have feelings too. A caption on the television set reads, produced and directed by Kelly Gwenlin, a groovy Channel 27 production. Our view pans the crashed spaceship yet again and it fades out. And we now see Red Dwarf. Rimmer and Lister are in the sleeping quarters and Rimmer is learning Esperanto. The tutor, on screen, says some jumbled words.
Wait a minute, I know this one. Don't tell me.
Lister is polishing a bike as he says,
I hope when you come the weather will be clement.
The tutor promptly says, on screen, the very words Lister confirmed. I hope when you come the weather will be clement.
Lister, don't tell me. I could have got that.
The tutor again says something in Esperanto for Rimmer to translate.
Now I remember this one. Please could you direct me to a 5-star hotel? Wrong, actually. Totally, utterly, and completely wrong.
The tutor again obliges with the words, please could you direct me to a 5-star hotel?
Lister, will you please shut up? I'm only helping you. Well, I don't need any help.
The tutor speaks more jumbled Esperanto.
I would like to purchase that orange inflatable beach ball and that small bucket and spade.
The tutor again speaks, proving Rimmer 100% incorrect as he says the meal was splendid. My heartiest congratulations to the chef.
What?
Pause. Rimmer, you've been doing Esperanto for 8 years. How come you're so utterly useless?
Oh, speaks, and how many books have you read in your entire life? The same as Champion the Wonder Horse. Zero.
I've read books.
Lister, we're not talking about books where the main character is a dog called Ben.
I went to art college.
You?
Yeah.
How did you get into art college?
The normal way you get into art college, the same old usual boring normal way you get in. Failed my exams and applied. They snapped me up.
Ah, but you didn't get a degree, did you?
No, I dropped that. I wasn't there long.
How long?
97 minutes. I thought it was going to be a good skive and all that, you know, but I took one look at the timetable and just checked out, man. I mean, it was ridiculous. They had lectures like first thing in the afternoon. We're talking 12:30 every day. If you're together by then you can still taste the toothpaste.
Well, unlike you, Lister, I have ambitions. I'm not prepared to sit around all day polishing my space bike so I can go joyriding through some asteroid belt, cause I'm not a gimp. And one of my ambitions is to learn another language, so kindly let me get on with it. Play.
The tutor again speaks jumbled words.
Ah, now this is one I do know.
The tutor disappears and Holly takes his place. The menu looks interesting, I think I'll try the chicken.
Holly, as the Esperantinos would say.
Lila, don't listen to this as it's jumbled stuff that I can't translate.
And I think we all know what that means.
Yeah, it means, could you send for the hall porter? There appears to be a frog in my pedo.
Is it? Well, what was that one about your father was a baboon's rump and your mother spent most of her life up against walls with sailors?
I'm not telling you.
It's cause you're bored, isn't it? That's why you're both annoying me.
I'm not bored. I've had a really busy morning. I've devised a system to totally revolutionize music.
Get out of town.
Yeah, I've desymbolized it. Instead of the octave, it's the decative. And I've invented two new notes, H and J. Lister puts things into a locker as he says.
Hang on a minute, you can't just invent new notes.
Well, I have. Now it goes do re mi fa sol la wo po ti do. Do ti po wo la so fa mi re do.
What are you driveling about?
Whole rock. It'll be a whole new sound. All the instruments will be extra big to incorporate my two new notes. Triangles will have four sides. Piano keyboards the size of zebra crossings. Of course women will have to be banned from playing the cello.
Holly, shut up.
Oh yeah, I forgot. I haven't told you the news.
What news?
A signal. We're getting a signal. It's probably nothing, but I just thought I'd mention it. Rumor strides across the room.
Aliens!
Oh god, aliens. Your explanation for anything slightly peculiar is aliens, isn't it? You lose your keys. It's aliens. A picture falls off the wall. It's aliens. That time we used up a whole bag roll in a day, you thought that was aliens as well.
Well, we didn't use it all, Lister. Who did?
Rumor, aliens used our bag roll.
Just cause they're aliens doesn't mean they don't have to visit the little boy's room. Only they probably do something weird and Alan-esque, like it comes out of the top of their heads or something.
Well, I wouldn't like to be stuck behind one in a cinema.
Another part of the ship. Cat, between two blocks, is holding a club.
Here, Mousy Mousy. I've got some cheese. I only want to be your friend.
He reveals the club and makes banging sounds as Lister and Rumor enter.
Yo, Cat.
Hello.
He drops the club fast.
We're getting a signal, come on.
Lister and Rumor leave. After peering around for a bit, the cat follows them. Radio room. All enter and Holly appears as well. It's a distress call from a ship called the Nova 5. They've crash landed. I'm trying to establish contact.
Another ship. Brilliant.
So it's not aliens then?
No, they're from Earth. Hope they've got some spare few odds and sods on board. We're a bit short on a few supplies.
Like what?
Cow's milk. Ran out of that yonks ago. Fresh and dehydrated. Lister peers into a cup and takes a sip of the contents.
What kind of milk are we using now?
Emergency backup supply. We're on the dog's milk. Lister realizes what he's drinking and quickly drinks it.
Dog's milk?
Nothing wrong with dog's milk. Full of goodness. Full of vitamins. Full of marrow bone jelly. Lasts longer than any other type of milk, dog's milk.
Why?
No bugger could drink it. Plus, of course, the advantage of dog's milk is that when it goes off it tastes exactly the same as when it is fresh. Lister still peers into his cup in front of Holly.
Why didn't you tell me, Holly?
What, and spoil your tea? Lister drops the cup. Hang about, we've got contact.
Punch it up.
Crichton appears on screen.
Thank goodness. My name's Crichton. I'm the service mechanic aboard the Nova 5. We've had a terrible accident. The male officers died on impact. The female officers are injured but stable. Please help us.
Is that female as in soft and squidgy?
He moves his fingertips.
How many?
Three. Miss Jane, Miss Tracy, and Miss Anne. I am transmitting medical details.
We see a girl and captions appear. Name, Gil Anne. Age, 24. Rank, mapping officer. Sex, female. Height, 164 centimeters. Weight, 45 GV. Medical, see proc disc details of 49. Another girl appears. Name, Johns Tracy. Age, 22. Rank, mapping officer. Sex, female. Height, 158 centimeters. Weight, 42 GV. Medical, see proc disc details of 49. The third girl appears. Name, Air Jane. Age, 25. Rank, mapping officer. Sex, female. Height, 161 centimeters. Weight, 46 GV. Medical, see proc disc details of 49. Rimmer, smugly, runs his hand through his hair.
Tell them we're coming aboard. By God, we'll rescue these fair blooms or my name's not Captain A.J. Rimmer, Space Adventure.
Thank you, Captain.
Space Adventure.
Well, what am I supposed to say? Fear not, I'm the bloke who used to clean the gunk out of the chicken soup machine. Actually, we know sod all about space travel, but if you've got a black nozzle, we are your lads. Kill them with confidence, wouldn't it?
How far are we away, Paul?
About 24 hours.
What?
He gets up and whirls around.
Only 24 hours. I'd better start getting ready.
He starts to leave.
24 hours. Ow. First in the shower room.
He leaves then re-enters.
Yeah, I'm so excited all six of my nipples are tingling.
He leaves.
What's wrong with him? We're on a mission of mercy. We're taking them urgently needed medical supplies. We're not on a pull.
Rock music. Lister is rubbing his shirt on a boot he is resting on an ironing board. He puts on the shirt. races over to his bunk, looks for something, goes to a cylinder, finds a sock, races to the sideboard, grabs an aerosol and starts spraying the sock. He puts it on the ironing board and hits it several times with a hammer. He then puts it in some trousers on. He turns to reveal there's a hole in the trousers, so he goes to his locker and sprays black aerosol over the bit of pants and skin that are showing through, so it looks like there is no hole there. He turns to the right and yells,
"Yo!"
as Rimmer enters from the left wearing a military-style uniform.
"No, we're not on the pole, are we, Lister? Look at you, absolutely pathetic. You're really trying, aren't you? You're wearing all of your least smacky things."
"What are you talking about?"
"That t-shirt, Lister, the one with only two curry stains on the front. You only wear that on special occasions. You're toffed up to the nines, laddie."
"What about you? You look like Clive of India, the one whose mom does use new biological biz."
"Oh, it started, I knew it would."
"What has?"
"The put-downs. It's always the same when we meet girls. Put me down and make yourself look good."
"Like when?"
"Remember those two little brunettes from supplies? And I told them I worked in stores and they were really interested and asked me exactly what I did there."
"And I said you were a shelf."
"Exactly. And then I suggested a trip to Titan Zoo and you said, ooh, he's taking you home to meet his mom already."
"So, they left?"
"Yes, at me, at my expense. Just don't put me down when we meet them."
"Okay, what do you want me to say? How do you want me to act?"
"Well, just act with respect. For a start, don't call me Rimmer."
"Why not?"
"Because you always put the emphasis on Rim and Rimmer. You make me sound like a lavatory disinfectant."
"Well, what do you want me to call you, Rimmer?"
"I don't know, Arnie, Arn. Something with a little more. Oh, I know, how about Big Man?"
"Big Man?"
"Or what about the nickname I had at school?"
"What, Bonehead?"
"How did you know my nickname was Bonehead?"
"I was only guessing."
"I didn't mean that, I meant the other one."
"What other one?"
"Ace."
"Get out of town. Your nickname was never Ace. Maybe Ace Hole."
"It was my nickname at school, actually. No one ever called me it, despite the many times I let them beat me up."
"What are you trying to say to me, Rimmer?"
"I'm saying build me up, don't put me down."
"Like?"
"Well, if the opportunity occurs and it crops up naturally in conversation, you could perhaps mention that I'm very brave."
"Do what?"
"Don't go it, just sort of mention perhaps that I died and I was pretty incredibly brave about it."
Lister is staring at Rimmer very hard.
"Well, I mean, you know, perhaps you could just mention, hint, that I've had tons of girlfriends."
Still staring.
"All right, forget it, it was just an idea. Oh, you're not wearing those boots, are you?"
"What's wrong with them?"
"Oh, they just don't go, not with that lot. I know, you should wear your Dayglo Orange Moon boots."
"You said they were disgusting."
"No, very chic."
"You said they smelled like an orangutan's posing pouch. They set off one of those dangerous chemical alarms. You made me put them in the airlock."
"No, no, that was a mistake. They really look terrific on you. I'd wear them, honest. Definitely."
We see Crichton's crash ship with Red Dwarf above it. Inside, Crichton is dusting some flowers in a corridor and he is obviously flustered.
"Come along, everybody. I hear they're in orbit."
He moves along the corridor and stops.
"Ag. Miss Jane."
We see Miss Jane. A skeleton sitting in a chair.
"What a mess you look."
He combs her hair.
"Smart and casual."
He puts lipstick on the skull. We reveal another skeleton, also seated, wearing a space uniform. Crichton addresses it.
"Miss Anne. Why, you haven't touched your soup. No wonder you're beginning to look so pasty."
The skeleton falls over and the face lands in the soup.
"Ooh. Do eat nicely, Miss Anne."
He props the skeleton up.
"What on earth will the visitors think if they see you eating like that?"
Ticks her off with finger and moves round the table to a third skeleton.
"Miss Tracy, no, you look absolutely perfect."
In the Red Dwarf pod, we see Lister's very disgusting moon boots.
"What's that smell?"
Rimmer peers oddly at the boots.
"I can't smell anything."
"Are you okay? Your eyes are watering."
"It's the excitement. Look, we can't wait for the cat, let's just go."
"Oh, come on, he's been preparing for a day and a night, don't you want to see the result?"
The cat enters, wearing a spectacular gold space suit dress.
"Ow, ow, ow."
He twirls.
"Wait for me."
He exits and returns sometime later.
"Hi, One Piece. See your plastic surgeon's nightmare."
"A space suit with cufflinks."
"Where'd you get the helmet?"
"I made it myself, I didn't want to mess up my hair. Hey, listen, we just gotta make sure we don't pass any mirrors, cause if we do, I'm there for the day." "Poor. What's that smell?"
Holly appears wearing a very obvious wig.
"All right, everybody ready? Let's go then."
"What are you doing, Holly?"
What? What's wrong?
The look, man. Why are you wearing the toupee?
What toupee?
The one on your head.
Whose head's that then?
Your head. It makes you look like a game show host.
What's wrong with everyone? 3 million years without a woman and you act as if you're all 14 years old.
Oh yeah, what about you and the socks?
What socks?
Come on, we can't hang about.
He's wearing two pairs of socks.
What for?
One pair to put on his feet and the other pair to roll up and put down his trousers. The pod has obviously left and arrived. Lister, Rimmer, and the Kega standing by a door which slides open to reveal Crichton, who greets them.
Come in, come in. How lovely to meet you.
He takes a bow.
Charmida. What a delightful craft you have. Reminds me of my first command.
Crichton leads the way out.
This way, please.
The T walk past a mirror. Cat stops, turns to face it, and looks at himself heavily.
Hey, you're a hearable baby.
Psst. The cat tries to tear himself away from the mirror, but he fails hopelessly.
You're going to have to help me, man.
Lister grabs the cat's leg and pulls him away.
Thank you.
All enter the room where the girls are, but they can't see them just yet.
I'm sure excited. We all are. The girls could hardly stop themselves from jumping up and down.
Ha! Charmida! Charmida!
Ha! De parlors Esperanto, Capitano Rimmer.
Come again.
You speak Esperanto, Captain Rimmer.
Oh, si, amo, oui.
Crichton walks up to the three girl skeletons. It is more than obvious now that he has no idea what they are.
Well, here they are.
Rimmer bows over enthusiastically.
Charmida.
He sees what he is bowing to and realizes the situation.
Well, it's a bit difficult to know what to say, isn't it, Ace?
Well, isn't anybody going to say hello?
Lister, sarcastically to Rimmer.
I think the blonde one's giving you the eye.
Well, I'll leave you to get acquainted. I'll just go and fix some tea.
Command error in parameter, 245, he exits. The cat nonchalantly walks up to a skeleton.
Hi, baby.
I don't believe this.
Be strong, big man.
Our first contact with intelligent life in 3,000,002 years, and it's the android version of Norman Bates.
Come on, guys, so they're a little on the skinny side.
Lister is enjoying this, demonstrated by the fact that he grabs two of the girls and says,
Listen, girls. I don't know whether it's the time or place to say this, but my mate Ace here is incredibly, incredibly brave.
He points to Dreamer.
Smack off, dog food face.
And he's got just tons and tons of girlfriends.
I'm warning you, Lister.
Crichton enters, carrying tea.
Is anything the matter?
Anything the matter? They're dead.
Who's dead?
Points to the girls.
They are dead. They're all dead.
My god, well I was only away 2 minutes.
They've been dead for centuries.
No.
Yes.
Are you a doctor?
You've only got to look at them. They've got less meat on them than a chicken nugget.
Oh, well what am I going to do? I'm programmed to serve them.
I think the first thing we should do is bury them.
You're that sure they're dead?
Yes.
What about this one?
There's a simple test. All right, girls, hands up those of you who are alive.
Well, what am I going to do?
Sadly, it seems, the pod returns to Red Dwarf. Crichton isn't in view as he pleads to go back.
I can't leave them, Mr. David. Please, please, take me back.
We go into the pod as Lister, the cat, Rimmer, and now Crichton sit there.
Crichton, you've got to start a new life now.
I haven't got the software to cope with this. I was created to serve. I serve, therefore I am. That is my purpose, to serve and have no regard for myself.
You're beginning to sound like my mom.
It's all I know.
You've got to change, haven't you? You've got to work out what you want and stop being everyone's smacking doormat.
That's easy for you to say, Mr. David, you're a human.
Only just...
Back on Red Dwarf, Crichton moves slowly along a corridor and meets Rimmer.
Ah, Crichton! Nothing to do, eh? Follow me.
Crichton is working through an enormous list of jobs given him by Rimmer. Lister is riding a motorbike in the ship corridor. He gets off and meets Crichton in his room, which has been totally renovated, pine furniture and so on.
What the smacking hell is going on?
Good afternoon, Mr. David, sir.
What are these?
Your boxer shorts, Mr. David, sir.
No way are these my boxer shorts. These bend. What have you done to the place?
I've done a spot of tidying up.
But where is everything? Where's my coffee cup with the mug in it?
I threw it away, sir.
But I was breathing that mud. His name was Albert. I was trying to get him 2 foot high.
Why, sir?
Because it drives Rimmer nuts. And driving Rimmer nuts is what keeps me going.
I'm sorry, Mr. David, sir.
Look at you. What are you doing? Why are you doing all this?
Well, serving makes me happy, sir.
But what about you? Don't you ever want to do anything just for yourself?
Myself? That's a bit of a barmy mission, if you don't mind my saying so, sir.
Come on, there must be something you look forward to.
Androids.
Crichton begins to sing.
Androids. Everybody needs good androids.
That's stupid soap opera, why?
Well, because for half an hour a week I can forget I'm me.
Androids. What else?
Being asleep.
Androids and being asleep. Sounds like a crazy fun-packed life you lead there, Crichton, me old son.
Lister pats him.
I have strange thoughts when I'm asleep.
Yeah, they're called dreams.
My favorite one is that I'm in a garden. I've never even seen a garden except in books, and I planted everything and made it grow. It's my garden, and there's no one there but me, just me and all the things I made live silly.
No, it isn't. Find a planet with an atmosphere and do it.
I can't. I am programmed to serve.
There's no one to serve now, Crichton, that's the point.
What about Mr. Arnold? I've got to complete Mr. Arnold's tasks.
Shows him the list.
You what?
He looks.
Rimmer gave you all this.
Well, Mr. Arnold is my master now.
Mr. Arnold isn't his name. His name's Rimmer, or Smayhead, or Dinosaur Breath, or Molecule Mind. And on a very rare occasion where you want to be really make-a-polite to him, Crichton, we're talking make-a-polite. In those exceptional circumstances you can call him arsehole.
In the same place sometime later. Crichton is painting, Rimmer is watching, and Lister is in bed. The cat is also present.
Yeah.
I think it'll be best on that wall, sort of dominating the room.
Yes, Mr. Arnold, sir.
Yes, Mr. Arnold, sir. You're a total gremlin, you know that, Crichton.
Yes, Mr. David, sir.
Yes, Mr. David, sir.
Leave it alone, Lister. It enjoys doing the tasks I give it. It makes it happy.
Drop dead, Rimmer.
Already have done.
Encore.
You'd never get a cat to be a servant. You ever see a cat return a stick? Hey man, you threw the stick, you go get it yourself. I'm busy. If you wanted the stick so bad, why'd you throw it away?
Crichton, you never got a thing from those movies I showed you, did you?
What movies?
Mr. David was kind enough to take me to see The Wild Ones, Easy Rider, and Rebel Without a Cause.
I thought it might do him some good. Fat chance. In the middle of Marlon Brando's Rebel speech, he gets out a brush and mattock and starts doing my lapels.
Well, no, maybe you'll learn, Lister. There's a natural order to things in life. Some give orders, others obey. That's the way it's always been, that's the way it's always going to be. Isn't that true, Crichton?
Yes, Mr. Arnold.
Yes, Mr. Arnold. What's the point?
I've finished, Mr. Arnold, sir.
Excellent, Crichton.
Rimmer gets up and looks at the painting. We now see that Rimmer in the picture is sitting on a toilet with his trousers down and wearing bizarre socks.
I think it's rather good, Mr. Arnold, don't you, sir?
What are you doing?
I think I'm rebelling.
Rebelling?
Yeah, I think that's what I'm doing.
You are rebelling?
Yes.
What are you rebelling against?
Crichton throws the eel away and spots some soup the cat has been cooking. In a cowboy-type voice to Rimmer, he asks,
what have you got?
He walks over and takes the soup.
Dinosaur breath. Molecule mind.
He throws the soup in Rimmer's bed.
Snake for brains.
He turns to Lister.
I need your bike.
You got it.
Crichton gives Lister 5, makes to leave, and sticks his finger up at Rimmer.
Swivel on it, punk.
Crichton is wearing leather studs and revving Lister's bike like a maniac as Rimmer watches on in utter and total amazement. The end.